There's more of the title, maybe just a preliminary definition before I say anything else. So a pole dance studio is, so you fix an integer and a natural number, and for use later, let's fix the field, which is either the rational number or the complex numbers. And the DP is the disk minus P points. And then the pole dance studio, PDSP, is DP cross an interval. So basically, it's a room with P poles removed. You can dance inside that room. And having said that, thank you for inviting me to Le Diablerin. And the talk has a website, and that's the URL. And you can find the handout over there if you wish. And here is the handout in full. I hope everybody is holding a copy. And, you know, I should say that my other passions are work that I do with Roland van der Veen on fancy Lie algebra stuff, which ends up leading to fast, computable, topologically meaningful knot invariants. And I'm really, really, really excited by that, if only because it's contained in polymathematics, so mathematics that can be computed in polynomial time. So, you know, you don't chalk out at 5 or 10, you can compute to 200. I mean, you really can compute. The fact that I'm showing you this is sort of an indication that I'm panicked. Basically, I talked about it in Geneva, in Le Diablerin sometime before, and in Geneva just 2 months ago. And 2 months ago, I realized I have to quickly come up with a topic here, which is suitable for the topic of this meeting. And unfortunately, I already spoke about things that are not even properly suitable. So I had to come up with something very, very, very quickly. And fortunately for me, Zhuji organized a meeting in Sydney with herself and Tamara Hogan and Jessica Liu and Nancy Sherriff and me. And we spent some time learning things, and in particular reading a paper by Marciao and another one by Alexeyev and Naev. And to be fair, we didn't really read them. We just tried to understand what's in them, or what we thought was in them. My talk is about reading these papers without really reading them. So basically, I will tell you about a three-dimensional interpretation of the homomorphic expansions for the Goldman-Turayev Lie by algebra. And it's been done already by Marciao, but I think it's a very, very hard to penetrate paper. So I hope I will simplify a bit. And I think it was done without acknowledging it by Alexeyev and Naev, except they don't acknowledge it. So they write, here is the expansion in terms of the Knisnik-Zhomolodchikov connection, without saying, but it also has a three-dimensional interpretation. And it's a brilliant paper, by the way, but it, to me, it reads like formulas, like, and it's hard to see what the formulas are saying. So I hope I will be able to at least somewhat fix it. While in Sydney, and knowing what we're talking about, we had fun. So Tamara couldn't come, so we put her picture on the wall and took a picture of ourselves taking a pole dancing class. So here is Jessica, here's Nancy, here's Yuji, here's myself. And I suppose this sign here says that I should go to the blackboard for a moment. You know, since I have so little content, I hope at least to be entertaining. So I'll tell you a little bit about expansions in general. So without defining what's an expansion, here are two examples. So
there are maps W from the free group with generators uppercase xi into the free associative algebra with generators lowercase xi. And here are two examples. One is the Magnus expansion, and it sends uppercase xi to 1 plus lowercase xi, and then it must send the inverse to the inverse. So that's where the inverse goes. And there is the exponential expansion, which is defined only over the rationals, and it sends xi plus minus 1 to e to the plus of or minus xi. So here's a fun way to think about expansions. So, you know, maybe the standard way to think about expansions is to ask yourself, okay, I told you, where does this go? So now I'm looking at x1, x2 squared, x3 inverse, and I'm asking myself, and then let's add another x1 here, and I'm asking myself, where does this go? Okay, so I'm asking myself, where does some short words or product goes to? And it goes to some very, very, very long power series. But I want to look at it in slightly reversed way. So I want to think, suppose I have a very, very, very long word. So x1, x2, x1, da, 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 very long, x2, x1, maybe some inverted. And I'm asking myself, let's look at the low degree part of the output. So what's the coefficient of 1 in the output? Not interesting, 1. What's the coefficient of xi in the output? So basically, this, let's take the Magnus expansion, the exponential expansion is similar. So this will go to 1 plus lowercase xi. This will go to 1 plus lowercase x, sorry, x1. This will go to 1 plus lowercase x2. This will go again to 1 plus lowercase x1. And then I'm asking myself, how do I get an xi at the output? And the answer is, basically I can only get a degree 1 result if I take 1 from all of the factors, and except for 1 factor where I'm allowed to take something of degree 1. So basically, I'm counting in all of these factors how many times I see an xi. And that's the same as counting in this word how many times I see the letter uppercase xi, but I count with multiplicity or with signs. So basically, xi to the power 1 counts as a 1, and xi to the power minus 1 counts as a negative 1. So this tells me how many xi's occur. And now let's look at, say, the coefficient of x1, x2. In the answer. And basically, I need to look for pairs of factors, one which will contribute the x1 and the other which will contribute the x2. And the one that contributes the x1 should appear before the x2. So I'm basically counting how many times in the original word there is an x1 before an x2. And likewise, if I'm looking for x1, x2, x with the coefficient of x1, x2, x3, I'm counting how many times I can see an x1 and then an x2 and then an x1 again in the word, counted with signs. Okay. So basically, the expansion gives me sort of a statistical. Profile of the input word. If this is the input word, I get a statistical profile of W. How many times I get various letters and in what order? Okay. And then you can ask yourself, Well, there are various operations on words. So one operation is concatenate word. Another operation, so words are really elements of the free group, so you can map from one free group to another, and then it maps words to other words. Another operation is, well, sometimes you have, well, words are represented, so in two dimensions at least, words are represented by, can be represented by loops in a punctured plane. And then there are various operations that we've seen already where you look at double points and smooth at the double points, and then instead of a single word, you get two words, roughly speaking. What I'm looking for, what we're looking for, are homomorphic expansions. And homomorphic expansions are expansions that behave well relative to this operation, these operations, which roughly speaking means that if you know the statistical profile of the input word, you can tell the statistical profile of the output words. And furthermore, by simple formulas. Okay? So that's, sorry, this is an aside. I told you it's, I want to be entertaining, it's supposed to be. So that's what we're looking for. And the way we do it is by, well, there's something called the Koncievich integral. And the Koncievich integral is an expansion for knots. So it does just the same. Namely, so for knots, the output will be in so-called chord diagrams. There's the empty chord diagram, which is not interesting, so I'll suppress it. There is the chord diagram, which looks like a chord. There is a single chord on a circle. There is a chord, there is this chord diagram, there is that chord diagram, and then there are more and more complicated chord diagrams. And the Koncievich integral, very roughly speaking, counts. So chords correspond to crossings. So this chord diagram will count how many crossings there are counted with signs. This diagram will count how many crossings there are counted with signs, such that their combinatorial appearance in the knot is, so if you trace along the knot, you see the first chords and the second, then the second, then the first. So 1, 2, 2, 1. So meaning, if you, how many times do can you find pairs of crossings such that if you go along the knot, you go through the first, then the second, then the second, then the first again. This will correspond to how many times on the knot you can find pairs of crossings, so that if you walk through them, so that if you walk along the knot, you pass through these crossings in the order 1, 2, 1, 2, and so on. Okay? So basically what I'm going to tell you is that you can get, oh, sorry. And then the Koncievich integral is a well-known homomorphic expansion for knots, which has very good behavior under various knot operations. And then what I'm going to tell you is that if you know this one, you can figure out that one. Okay? I hope I'm not wasting your time too much. Well, you know, it's only 50 minutes to go, right? Or 40 minutes to go if I am wasting your time. So it's not that bad. Okay, some more formal definitions. So let pi be the same free group that I mentioned over there. And it's also the group of base curves.
You may descend the border. I'm not sure from the
sure. It's also the group of base paths in the punctured disk minus module deformations. Likewise, pi bar will be the framed free groups group.
So it's the formation class of immersions of curves in the plane, modulo deformations of such. Basically, all it means is that this immersion is no longer equivalent, or this curve is no longer equivalent to that curve. Otherwise, it's essentially the same. Let's put an absolute value on a group if we mod out by cyclic equivalence. So basically, pi absolute value means that I look at cyclic words, meaning that if I have a word W and it's preceded by a letter XI, I'm allowed to move the letter XI to the other end. So I just get cycles. And that corresponds to unbased curves in the punctured plane. Let A be the free associative algebra in generators X1 up to XP, and let absolute value of A denote cyclic algebra words. Basically, the only difference is that in the group, or the main difference is that in the group, you're also allowed to have negative powers, and in the algebra, it's just words in the letter XI without negative powers. Okay? And then theorem number one, which I'm not quite sure where the credits go. So I listed Goldman, Turayev, Masuyao, Alexeyev, Kawazumi, Kuno, and Naef, but I might be missing a few people. Says that, first of all, the cyclic framed words and cyclic algebra words, both of them are Levi algebras. And there is a homomorphic expansion. So a map W from cyclic words to from cyclic group words to cyclic algebra words, which is a morphism of Levi algebras, and satisfies the expansion property, which basically means that the cyclic group word with one letter becomes one plus the cyclic algebra word with the corresponding one letter, and then higher degree corrections. Yes.
Yeah, if we're asking about names, there might be many more names, but for sure, big fail.
Okay, noted. And maybe next time I'll add a picture of him as well. Okay. So I of course have to define the Levi algebra structures, the Levi algebra structure, and tell you why there is a homomorphic expansion. So some further definitions. So let K, which I will also call K zero, and sometimes K sub zero up zero, and sometime K of S, I'll explain S in a minute, be the space of formal linear combinations of tangles in a pole dance studio. So what's a tangle in a pole dance studio? Here is an example. I'm being schematic, so I didn't bother to tell you that the red lines, which are the tangle, sometimes go over and sometimes go under the poles. I just didn't bother to mark which is over and which is under. Okay, I'm just being schematic about the tangles. Okay, now the skeleton of the tangle is basically the list of its components with a little bit of information about each one. So one component goes from bottom to bottom, another component goes from bottom to top, another component goes from is a circle, and another component is a circle. So that's the skeleton of this particular tangle. And then if you fix the skeleton in advance and say it is just a circle, so I'm not looking at all tangles, but only knots, then I will put K parentheses S to indicate knots in the pole dance studio with that skeleton, okay? And that was K0 or K0 or K up z or K00. And now let me tell you what is K sub T up S. So for that, maybe the best if I'll start with an example. So K5 2 of a circle will consist of pictures as here. This is a tangle in which a circle is tangled. So the skeleton is a single circle. But, well, it has 1, 2, 3 ordinary crossings. And I was lazy and I didn't bother to tell you if they're over or under, but they're either way, either one. Okay. But it also has special crossings which are denoted by bullets. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, of which 2 are strand to strand bullets. And the remaining 3 are strand to pole bullets, right? The vertical lines are the poles, the strand are red. And what this stands for is really a big linear combination of tangles. And it's the linear combinations that you get by replacing every bullet, be it red or black, by a difference of an overcrossing minus an undercrossing. So here you have 5 bullets. So this picture really corresponds to a linear combination of 32 knots. Okay. Now this defines a filtration on the space of knots, two filtrations on the space of tangles. Namely, the more you increase the lower index, the smaller the space is, because you're looking at more restricted linear combinations that are bigger and bigger. And the higher index, the strand index, the smaller the space is once again. So this defines a double filtration on the space of knots. Okay. K up slash S or K mod upper S means that you look at the space of all knots and mod out by knots that have, or by the image under this operation of knots that have S strand double points, so S red double points. So here is an example, and that's the most important example. So if you look at K mod 1 of a circle, well, what's that? These are circles in a pole dance studio, except I mod out by circles that have 1 double point. A double point means over minus under. So I'm modding out by saying that by the relation that says that an overcrossing is the same as an undercrossing. So now I'm allowed to flip crossings freely. And if I'm allowed to flip crossings freely for a circle in a pole dance studio, then all that remains, the only information that remains, is its projection to the plane, which is a plane curve. Okay, so so if I'm talking about frame tangles, then K mod 1 of a circle is really is the group of cyclic immersed words of the free group, in the free group, not the group, the set of whatever, what I said. And of course, there is a projection from the space of all K of a circle. Well, there's of course a projection to the quotient space to mod out by K1. And that projection is the projection that maps a tangle to its underlying homotopy class. Basically, you project it to the plane. Okay. Next definition. Sorry, I have to make many of those definitions. So calligraphic A is the associated graded of K with respect to the lower filtration, with respect to the total number of double points. So the direct sum of KT modulo KT plus 1. And similarly, A up S is the associated graded with respect to the upper filtration. And so done here. I think I miswrote here. But that's not terribly interesting, because what I really wanted to say, and sorry, there's some typos here. That's not very interesting, because what I really wanted to say, I wanted to define A upper slash S, so A modulo upper S, and that's just A modulo AS, where AS is the image of, without giving a formal definition, it's the associated graded with respect to the lower filtration of the picture above. And it will become clearer in a moment anyway. So now a couple of facts. So fact one is there is the Concievich integral. So, I mean, for now, I only told you that A is the associated graded of K. Later, I will identify it with chord diagrams. For now, I don't even need to know that. So I'll just tell you that there is an expansion called the Concievich integral. It goes from K to A, and it is compatible